Hello, Bonesaw friends. This is Evan Pardue of Underhill Bonesaw. But welcome to episode 99 of Little Things for Bonesaw People. It is the year 2024. We are getting towards the end of the year. And we are 99 episodes in. We're only one step away from the big 100 and also a few other exciting things that are happening for that episode, which we're going to go over in detail here. But before I get any further, I need to mention that I have a couple of hosts with me today. Today I have Carmen Lesko-Vienski. How's it going, Carmen?
Hi. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah. You only missed like one full episode after you left Portland, but welcome back.
Thanks. It feels like I missed a lot more.
Yeah, it's been a couple of weeks. We've been a little bit back and forth with little things, so for a little bit behind schedule, but a little bit on that in a moment here. But also bringing back a Bonesaw Southeast host from back in the day again, Nate Murray. How's it going, Nate?
Yeah, I'm happy to be with you guys, you and Carmen.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't heard from you in quite some time. I think one of the last times we talked on the show was we did some Yamadori revisiting, some stuff talking about that, and about just like generally about type, what was it?
Colonel B. Bald Cypress.
Philosophy behind Bald Cypress, yeah. And so you expect to hear a lot from Nate in the next upcoming episodes. And also, I heard that you were featured on another show recently, Nate.
I don't know necessarily if I was featured. I kind of helped organize it. It's still not out yet, so I don't know if it's a little hush, but it's going to be pretty exciting getting some men who've been in the game for a long time. I think between the four of them, there was about 130 years of bonsai experience. So, I'm going to keep it hush until, you know, it's put out, but definitely worthwhile worth to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just a little teaser there that our buddy Nate was a part of something really cool and really interesting. We'll be sharing that with you guys once it's released. But we just wanted to talk about a few things, you know, because we are, you know, about to make a milestone here for the show. We've got a scholarship to talk about, and we also got Say Bonesaw to talk about a little bit, you know, kind of talk about that. But we're also going to go back and kind of talk about the show a little bit. Nothing too serious, you know, just this is kind of our downtime, and also explain to why a lot of us haven't been getting a lot of this content out for the podcast recently. And I just think it's because of all the things going on in everyone's lives right now too. So, but there's just a few things just to discuss with that. So, but I do want to mention before we get into our topic today that our podcast is sponsored by patrons over on patreon.com/littlethingsforbonesaw people. You can head on over there and become a best bud and hang out with these amazing people. I usually shout out all of the best buds named at the very end of the episodes, but I do need to mention our main show sponsor, Josh Roth Tools. Thank you, John, with Josh Roth, so much for sponsoring our show and also being a special part of our scholarship that's going to be mentioned here in just a moment. And then we always have our specimen best buds mentioned at the beginning as well. Unrai UN, Bonesaw Garden in Australia, and Bill Butler with Bill's Bayou. And then I can't go much further without mentioning Matt O'Donnell, our editor. He makes us sound smart, cleans up our audio, makes us enjoyable to listen to. You can go over to mattodonnell.com and contact him from there. If you want to start your own podcast show or audio engineering project with him, he is a set bassist living in Nashville, Tennessee, and he's all around awesome guy. Thank you, Matt, so much. And also check out Matt's show, Matt O'Donnell Wants to Know. He's been running it for a while, and he just released an episode not too long ago, like featuring his wife, my stepsister, Amanda. Let's share O'Donnell, I should say. And she is a chef, professional chef working in Nashville as well. They're an awesome team. They're awesome husband-wife combo, so check them out. But anyway, how's it been going, guys? Catch me up a little bit. Especially with you, Carmen. Like, how's things going back in Michigan? I don't know if anyone's really heard anything from you on that.
No, it was really funny because I was at the expo. What is it, 2 weekends ago now? And I think the episode where I was leaving back had just come out, and everybody was like, so how are you doing? Like, when are you moving? And I'm like, oh, I've been moved for like 2.5 weeks already. So things are going really good. We still have a lot of boxes that are not unpacked, but work is going very smoothly. I'm having lots of fun. Work on entries, working my way through a bunch of azaleas, getting stuff down for winter. We probably still have a few weeks before the temps get real cold, but it's better to start now. And that way I don't have to rush when it decides to frost and freeze. Other than that, let's see, had the Pacific Bonsai Expo, which was fantastic. And then my best friend had a baby. And so that was fun too. Yay.
Yeah.
So it's been a little busy.
Yeah. And I saw a picture of that baby. It's
he's so cute.
It's like, yeah, now that I have my own child, we're seeing babies all over the place, it seems like. Mm-hmm. But baby's always been there, but
Carmen, I'm curious. I'm curious, Carmen, how much have those trees changed since you've seen them last?
Almost not at all. It was a lot of like maintaining the status quo while I was away. There were a few changes, mostly on some junipers that were had been kind of really rough. And now they've been like initial styling has been done on them. But most of everything was just kind of maintained as is. So I'm not going through to do too many big changes on anything at the moment, mostly just, you know, the maintenance stuff. But there's a little heavier maintenance, I think, than has been able to be done in the past couple of years, just because there hasn't been enough staff time, you know, in that garden space. So maybe pruning a little bit harder than I normally would on some things. But
well, coming back from your apprenticeship with Michael, is coming back to the collection, trees that you have seen for so many years, are you seeing them with a different set of eyes now? I know you're saying you're not going to make some big changes early, but.
Yeah, I am. There's a lot of things that I didn't notice before my apprenticeship that I notice now, where a lot of it's like directionality of the tree is a little bit off. Like it probably should be a left flow, but it's planted as a right flow, or, you know, the flow and the branching patterns don't quite make sense, or the pot isn't the best option. It's too deep or it's too square or whatever. So a lot of it's just kind of like small changes that I think we can do to really bump things up to the next level. I don't think there's a whole lot of like total restyling work to do. But a lot of, yeah, smallish changes, I think, that'll really elevate things.
Nice. Cool. For you, Nate, since we haven't heard from you in a little while, dude, can you tell the listeners what you've been doing? I know you're in the same state, so the weather's about the same. We don't need to talk about the weather or anything like we normally do on the show, but what's been going on in your bonsai world, man?
I've topped several trees, probably June, July, that are still in the water, still in the ground. Actually, today I went and checked on one of those locations where I topped probably 15 trees. You know, just seeing kind of the bud push. It's really the first time I've done this with trees and just letting them recover, having a season to recover in the ground. And I'm curious to see how they'll respond, you know, when I collect them January, February of this coming year. You know, I'm early to a degree in the game in regards to collecting trees, but also developing trees. But it's been neat to be able to move some trees to some folks. And, you know, I was talking with you over the weekend at the nursery, and it really shrinks things when you give the perspective, I'm going to be shipping a tree to Atlanta as well as Los Angeles, you know, once the spring comes. So, it's been nice to develop trees, not just collect, but it's been nice to develop trees and, to a degree to have a presence where people respect that and see, you know, the quality of the work. And it's just cool because it's ever changing. I've heard several people say it, you know, with deciduous trees, you're really starting from scratch. You're not starting with branch structure. When we collect a cypress, it's completely, you know, without branching. And to me, that's really fun to get back to a beginning state of development. I really, really enjoy that. I enjoy maintaining, but being able now to move some of those trees like I'm looking to do this coming spring, I am looking forward to getting back to some of those initial building decisions.
Yeah. And if this is, so just for some context there with what Nate's talking about, if this is your first episode, Nate collects bald cypresses in Southeast Louisiana with us over here, or primarily, you know, his own thing over here called the Boot Bonsai. You can check him out on Instagram. And you've had plenty of content over there of you pulling trees out over the past several years. You say you're still early, but and you've been collecting for almost 5 years now. So, and your eye for it has greatly improved. So yeah, don't ever down that.
Well, I mean, the species develops really quickly. So it's kind of like dog year. A lot of other trees take a lot more time, whereas, you know, cypress specifically, you can develop them pretty quickly, as you know.
Yeah. It's
common.
It's
I not, know we're going to get into some other things with Sabonsai and some other things. I think Evan alluded to it, scholarship stuff. But yeah. 2 years ago, I went to the expo. What was it? The Bridge Yard, was it not? Mm-hmm. I know Eric and Jonas and Andrew had really talked about, you know, more space this year. I really enjoyed the trees 2 years ago. And from everybody I've talked to that went, you know, this year, a few weekends ago, they really raved about, again, Eric's, you know, centerpiece, but also the trees themselves. What was your take on the show?
I didn't go to the first one, but I saw a lot of pictures and heard a lot of feedback. And so we were at a different venue this time that was much larger. And it was really phenomenal the way, I mean, I heard a lot about how the light hit the trees in the first venue. And even in this venue, it was really interesting as the sun kind of moved through. It still gave you some really, really interesting lighting. And the trees were fabulous. They'd had more this time. I think they had 75. I wish that they had done, maybe they'll do it next time, I'm not sure, but I wish they would go up to 100. I think they had enough space. They could have put in a few more. And I understand, you know, why they didn't. They wanted to have a lot of room for vendors. But I think, particularly with this venue, they had space in the hallways for vendors as well. So I would have loved to see a couple more tables of trees. But the tree quality was pretty outstanding. There were a lot of conifers, some really good deciduous. I mean, everything was real good. There were some good broadleaf evergreens. There were some azaleas and some olives and that kind of thing, some oaks. I don't know if the oaks fall, which category those fell in, because I know there's some that are like kind of broadleaf evergreen and some that are more deciduous, but there was a lot of variety of stuff. And I know they had to leave out some trees that were quality wise would have been able to make it in the show, just so that they had space to put in more variety of species. So I think if they bumped it up to, if they do it at the same venue, I'd love to see them bump it up to maybe 100 trees next time. But yeah, it was gorgeous. Every tree seemed to have enough space on the table. The displays were really nice. The trees themselves were great. I was surprised there weren't more Shoheen displays. I think there were only three, maybe four.
Oh, bummer.
I know. I was kind of surprised. So, but maybe, I mean, Shoheen school is still like in its infancy. So maybe in 2 years, there'll be more. And there were a few kind of artistic displays. There weren't too many of them, but there were a couple, and those were pretty fun. And there were, I've never seen that many vendors at a show. Like, it felt like there were so many vendors that like, I've never seen pots left on Now's table or pots, like Sarah Rainer pots left on the last day. Like, they took some stuff home and I've never seen that happen. And I think it's just because there were so many vendors there that everybody was kind of able to get what they were looking for. And I think also the vendors came with, you know, a ton of stuff so that they would have enough for everybody. But yeah, overall impressions were probably one of the best bonsai shows I've been to. And then I guess they did some panels and presentations and stuff. And, you know, the timing of that's tricky because it's concurrent with all the sales and the show itself. And so, like, I kind of wish they had done the growers panel earlier so that people would have been more like pumped to buy from the growers. But if they had done it so early, then everybody would still be in the vendor area trying to get the things they specifically came for before everybody else got them. And so it's like, it's hard to run things concurrently like that. But so I think they did a good job with it. And there was always something going on, whether it was shopping or looking at trees or whether there was a panel or a presentation or a demo or something.
It sounds like we need to also get a few photos and do some critiquing on a future episode as well of those trees.
Yeah, we could totally do that.
Oh, my God. I mean, I know we've talked about trees in the past, but these would be really interesting trees to kind of, you know, try to our best to pick apart some of the displays, but some of the most of the displays that I saw, and I don't know, you said 75, and there's been several YouTube videos and articles posted and all that stuff about the this year's show, Pacific Bonsai Expo, and I don't feel like I've seen them all. I think I've seen maybe the 50 or so that people were like circulating a lot. I feel like there's still a few more if it was 75. I feel like
I mean, I was there and I still feel like I didn't see everything just because trying to walk through a show is really hard to do. Just, you know, I would get so distracted by other things that were going on. There wasn't really time to stop and look at all the trees. I wasn't involved in the judging. So all the exhibitors were part of the judging process, but I wasn't technically an exhibitor. So I did not get to be in the room and look at every single tree one by one, like they all did. So I feel like even up, you know, the last hour when everybody was packing up, there were still trees that I was like, oh, I didn't even see that one. So this is, I think, especially when you're at a show for presenting or vending or whatever, like this is one that's really, really good to get the actual album for. So you can go back and look at everything at a later date because there's just, you know, not time there to stop and look at it.
Speaking of an album for a show, that reminds me of say Bonsai coming up and mentioning about the improvements that we're going to be making to the show this year. So I know that's a topic that we're going to get into, but I feel like we do need to unveil the sponsorship, the Little Things sponsorship even more, because we had talked about a little bit about the first rendition of this, right? And I feel like it's evolved since the last time we've mentioned it, right? I've talked it over with you two guys, so you guys are familiar with this. It's not going to be surprising to you, but yeah. So the Little Things for Bonsai People podcast, if this is your first, I say things as if everyone's listening for the first time, because I don't know how many new listeners we're getting. Some people go in, they listen to episodes and they go back, but whatever. But yeah, the sponsorship that we've been talking about for the past 10 episodes is coming up, and we've been taking our time releasing these episodes because I wanted to give people lead up time to be able to submit their bonsai story. So what we're looking for is a intent, like a letter of intent, basically. Tell me about, you know, what you love about bonsai, why you're into bonsai. Give me some philosophy and some psychology behind why you think bonsai is important in your life, and what you want to do in the future with it, because the scholarship will be awarded to someone that me and Carmen and Nate and Mike see fit. I don't want to say with scholarships, you don't really win them. It's not a competition, but it's how would you describe that? I mean, Nate, coming from a from a teacher standpoint, how would you would award it? Is that it?
You could say awarded, but for me, scholarship, it's who's representing. If you're thinking of an academic or athletic scholarship from a college, it's this college wants you to represent them and to represent their brand, their university. And we want that so much that we're offering you, you know, this incentive to represent us. We feel you deserve it. We feel you're worthy, you know, we feel you're worthy to represent our school. So in that sense, to me, it's not necessarily what you've done, but it's, you know, your direction, what you're wanting to do. Like you say, your goals. It doesn't have to be, you know, refined trees that we probably don't expect it to be, you know, really developed refined trees. It's somebody who has a really compelling story and, you know, the bug has bitten them. And this is the first time to acknowledge somebody or award this scholarship. And this is going to be the first recipient of this scholarship. So I'm sure as, you know, as people who decide this, you know, you really want it to be somebody who's going to take it seriously, who's going to take the next steps to further their education, you know, in Bonsai itself.
Yeah, for sure. I like that mention of if Little Things for Bonsai People sponsors you, you are a representation or an example of somebody that we want to, you know, support in your Bonsai journey. So like Nate said, like you don't have to be advanced. This is for beginners, and we would hope to give it to somebody who really needs it from that beginning standpoint. Because I remember when I was getting into Bonsai, needing tools and needing materials and needing access to something, somebody who will teach me something hands-on. And so with our scholarship, we've had some recent additions to really, really, I guess you could say, spice things up here. So what we're offering for our scholarship now, it was originally $200 from the Little Things ourselves, from the funds that we've accumulated and even from our own pockets to put forward, because I mean, and be honest, guys, like a podcast show, unless you're generating millions of listens and you're one of those kind of podcast shows, podcasts don't make money like that. So we're putting our best foot forward to provide $200 towards either in-person classes or some other way for you to get consulting with a bonsai professional or on-site training at either a public collection, at like a workshop if you're going to take it at a convention, something along those lines. And you guys let us know, whoever's rewarded this scholarship, how you would spend that $200. But also, in addition to, I've been talking to other people about this scholarship and they've gotten excited and they wanted to also share. So Doug Green of Underhill Bonsai, basically my boss, guy who owns Underhill, I told him about the scholarship and he was excited and he said, you know what, I'll match you. Here's another $200. So that's $400 in classes wherever you can seek them online or in person training that you can seek. And then I was talking to John of Joshua Roth Tools, and John was like, actually, no, I'm going to back that up a little bit. John contacted me. He heard about the scholarship on one of our earlier episodes, probably like episode 90 or 91. We started really talking about it. And John called me up and he's like, hey, let me be part of this. And John's a really nice guy. Y'all heard him on one of the earlier episodes we had this year where he talked about his love of carnivorous plants and orchids and all the other wonderful things that he puts on his umbrella of interests. But John of Josh Roth Tools wants to put forward $200 in Joshua Roth Tools. We're talking quality tools, guys. Some good stuff. And we distribute Joshua Roth at our nursery. I put my hands on them. They're great. They honor with their tools with a 3-year warranty. I mean, if you break them, crack them, chip them, anything goes wrong, John will replace your tools. And this is an amazing company. Really good opportunity there. And then on the previous episode of this show, if you guys listened, I talked to Oscar Jonker of Bonsai Empire. And we reviewed his latest Mr. Shinji Suzuki and Lou Louis Vajero class that he has on his website now as a course. And I was mentioning the sponsorship to him as well. And he said, you know what? Count me in as well. So getting $200 from BonsaiEmpire.com. You can go over to BonsaiEmpire.com and check out what courses he offers. $200 gets you a long way on that website. So that's classes from Bjorn Bjornholm, Kimura, Shinji Suzuki, Michael Hagedorn, Harry Harrington, Walter Paul, and the list just keeps going on and on. You know, like with all the professionals, he's got multiple recordings with all these professionals too that he's done big projects with and recorded all this beautiful content. I mean, we're talking hours of content. Like each course is like 4 to 6 hours of like cinema quality 4K. I mean, we're talking some good stuff. So $200 to Bonsai Empire. So that's $800 of value of stuff here, guys. $400 just to go learn somewhere, $200 in tools, and $200 on BonsaiEmpire.com for online courses. I mean, I'm just going to say, holy shit. Like that, that's cool.
Can I apply for the scholarship?
Of course, Carmen.
Just kidding.
Tell me your dreams and goals in Bonsai.
You know, lay it out. If I'm a 10-year, you know, practitioner, if I've been dabbling in the backyard for 10 years and I'm like, oh, Evan's just talking about movies, kind of lay it out, the type person, the type enthusiast. It doesn't matter the number of years, because obviously we're all continuously learning this. There are no parameters to who you're speaking to, correctly?
I mean, like you said, Nate, this goes to anyone. So, I mean, what we're looking for is probably going to be, you know, we don't want to be based off of, how would you say it? I don't want to. It's not out of pity, I guess. It's putting like if you're hard up for cash, I mean, we can help you out with this too, but also we want to know what is your bonsai dream? Like, do you want to go work in a private collection, or do you want to work in a public collection? Do you want to work with a bonsai professional one day and maybe become apprentice under them? What do you, you know, or even if it's as simple, I mean, we will sponsor someone as simple as like just doing bonsai in their backyard. And they want to become more and more involved and more passionate about this, about their bonsai projects. And I mean, I think we've got, at this point of this recording, like right now, I think we've got 6 applicants so far, which is, that's awesome. That means, that people actually have been listening to the episodes. That's one thing. So, but other than that, I think it's starting to catch on more and more because other people are starting to tell other people. And it just reminds me of, I used to go to community college and there was scholarships like this handed out all the time. So like you could go in and I was in a class where they offered a flight to Dubai. They wanted to fly people at a community college in Southeast Louisiana to Dubai. That sounds insane to me. And the only,
what were they doing there?
I don't know. I was in an HVAC class at that time.
Altering the weather.
Aha. Yeah.
I was over there controlling the weather inside people's homes, and they wanted to bring these blue collar job community college people to Dubai. And the only thing that they had to do was write an essay about their dreams and their goals. And I'm like, okay, how many people filled that out? And I remember whenever they announced the winner for our class, that one guy wrote that essay that won. That one dude. You know,
there was just the one guy.
That one guy. Like, I didn't write it because I was just being lazy. I'm going to be honest. I can't know how that works. So the one guy in my class that said, I'm going to do it. And then he wrote his essay up and he submitted it and he was anxious. And he was like, I don't know if it's going to work. And he was looking around to see if anybody else, nobody else. I was like, good on you, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and he went to Dubai and I don't know, but we're not sending people to Dubai. That's
not yet.
Yeah.
Maybe someday.
Maybe. I don't know if it's
when we have millions of listeners and this is our full-time job.
Yeah, exactly. And when we can step away from the scissors and just do podcasting all day about bonsai, I mean, that would be kind of weird. I'd rather do bonsai, honestly. you know, but yeah, this scholarship could do some really special things. I'm very, very happy to, you know, put this together, you know, with me and my co-host here. And of course with Matt too, I've been talking to him about it. And so this, I feel like this is going to go a long way, and I'm excited to award it to, you know, whoever we find is the most inspiring, I guess. But if you guys are interested in submitting a bonsai story, like I said, you shoot me an email, evan@underhillbonsai. So it's evan@underhill.com. And I will get your story. If I don't respond, here's something to know. If I don't respond, it's because we're banking them and we're storing them. So if I don't respond to your email, don't think that you didn't get it. You're in the running. It's just, we're taking them as they come. We don't want to reply to anyone and get anyone worked up or confused, or, you know, I had somebody message me and I mean, or email me and say, I wanted to edit something. Once you send it to me, that's what we get. If there's grammatical errors, or if you said something that you feel like might have been a little off, we can forgive that if it's obvious, but don't worry too much about that. You don't have to be an English major to submit for this award, basically. So, but I think our cutoff date would be fair to say, because this episode is going to release at the time of this recording, a little bit after. So we are cutting off. Our cutoff date is going to be December 1st. December 1st is the last time we will look at emails, and we will go through them and decide who's going to be awarded. And then also we will do episode 100. And for our Bonsai Best Buds out there, I know we got our Discord, so it'll be easy for you guys to see this. But I'm going to drop in there, and we're going to put a date and the stream code. So you guys are invited to come into our... We use Zoom, so you're invited to come into our Zoom call, and you guys can talk with us. You guys can go into the chat. We probably would prefer chat if there's a lot of people, and we'll have a fun time and celebrate episode 100 and then award our scholarship then. So yeah, that is December 1st. Like I said, that's when we're going to be wrapping up the applications, basically. But I mean, I've gotten a handful of people applied for it already. So I think the couple of weeks after this episode, after this release, I think we'll have a handful more, hopefully, you know, after talking about it for nearly a whole episode or so. But anyway, so any thoughts, guys?
I mean, I think with only six people in the running so far, you've got a really good chance. So, you know, write to us and let us know what you want to do with Bonsai. And I mean, I'm just really excited about this because I've always wanted to find a way to make Bonsai more accessible to people because, I mean, financially speaking, it's, you know, it's really an expensive hobby, and it's, you know, it's not really easy to get into it. So I'm really excited that so many other people are excited and want to be part of this scholarship. And I hope it kind of starts a trend with, you know, other podcasts or other teachers or other clubs or something, you know, awarding scholarships to folks so that they can attend shows or attend classes or, you know, whatever. So, yay.
Yeah. How about you, Nate? How you feel?
Well, I think for me, it takes that one aha moment. It takes that one interaction with the right person. Where it really takes your practice to the next level. And you begin, you know, Carmen, kind of like you were saying, where you begin to see things from a different point of view. And that's what this is, whether it be a workshop, whether it be a one-on-one, whether it be a workshop at an exhibition. And I think it's fair to say you're taking applicants. We're taking applicants from all countries, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. This is international. John has told me that if there's anything about shipping tools, we can ship them wherever. John's got the setup. And then also for the money, if you get the professional or the establishment that's going to teach you bonsai, they contact us and we will make it work.
Well, I just feel some people may be hesitant, and you know, somebody's going to win this scholarship. It's like a Friday night football game. Somebody has to win. Somebody's going to win the scholarship, and it's going to change things for them. And you know, you joke about you didn't write that essay. You know, somebody needs to, you know, step up and share why it means so much to them and why they, you know, how these monies could change their practice. Because somebody's going to receive a nice set of tools as a kickstart, and you know, several $100 worth of training on several platforms and several varieties.
Yeah, even if there's not a bonsai nursery or anything near you, Bonsai Empire will get you like aimed in the right direction to kind of start thinking about, you know, where else could you seek those things out that you need for bonsai. And it's not just limited to the $400, just the straight cash to go to those places isn't just limited to your location. Like, let's say, right, we have a listener. I talked to him a while back. He's actually one of our bonsai best buds. He's in Oklahoma. And he's like, there's nothing out here. There's no bonsai anything. And I'm like, even still, for someone like that, there is a way if you wanted to travel to a show. We wouldn't cover the airfare, but if you, John, and me and John from Josh Roth Tools have talked about this, you can get into the show. We would love to do that. And then you can go spend your money at those workshops. You know, whatever we need to do to get that person in the doors of a bonsai establishment of some kind to get them going. That's ultimately what this scholarship's for. I mean, now that I'm saying it out loud, it sounds kind of crazy to say that a podcast show is able to do something like this. But anyway, it's like we've all stated here, it's exciting. I know back whenever I started bonsai almost 15 years ago now, it's been a while, that I would have killed for, well, not, you know, I would have, I was hurting. Let's just say that I'm going to use some Southern's, twang too. I was hurting for some good tools. You know what I mean? But like I would have loved to have a good pair of sharp shears, some good root cutters, some good, gin pliers, just stuff that can get me in, you know, all the right stuff that I need to work on bonsai properly.
This podcast is supported by Bonsai Bar, the beginner bonsai workshop popping up in breweries all across the Northeast. Bonsai Bar is 2 hours of tiny tree goodness disguised as a night out with friends. Come grab drinks, create a new tree, and watch as your friends and family get the bug for bonsai. Bonsai Bar is always looking for teachers and assistants, and you listen to this podcast, so you're probably already qualified. Bring your knowledge out to the bar. Apply today. Find event tickets, contact info, and more at bonsaibar.com.
Hey guys, it's Evan with Underhill Bonsai, and I just wanted to tell you guys about Save Bonsai. It's going to be happening from March 28th to the 30th, 2025. We're going to be everything Louisiana for a full weekend, so we're going to include a crawfish boil, homemade gumbo, and other food trucks and vendors that are very special, I guess you can say, the southern culture of Louisiana. And also, the show will include a bonsai show with its own special awards, including Best in Show, Best Shohin, Best Traditional Design, People's Choice Award, and also a tongue-in-cheek Best Bald Cypress Bonsai Award. Guest artists and visiting artists will include Julian Tsai, Sylvia Smith, Mike Lane, Carmen Lesko-Bienski, Dawn Ketting, Randy Bennett, and Guy Guidry. Each artist will be presenting demonstrations and giving workshops throughout the weekend. You can go over to underhillbonsaistore.com and go under our Save Bonsai Workshops tab, and you can sign up for just regular attendance. It's going to be $25 just to get into the exhibit tent, and then all the workshops will be spaced out, and they will all have individual pricing. We hope to see you guys there. Let's touch on Save Bonsai a little bit. And since we have some more time in this episode, we're not going to sit here and harp on the scholarship. I think that's enough. You guys also heard about it in the previous episodes a couple of times, but I just wanted to announce the new features and add-ons to that scholarship and know that every time that Little Things for Bonsai People hits a big whatever XOO, so 200, 300, 400, you know, that would be insane if we made it to 400 plus. And I'm saying that now, like it's not going to happen, but we never know.
I'm not planning to stop. So
yeah,
I have a lot of years of talking left in me.
Yeah. I mean, who's going to shut Carmen up?
Nobody ever.
You guys won't. So keep listening.
They're like, I'm going to do it right now. They turn off their podcast. Aw.
Try me. Right at that time signature, you say that. And we're like, oh, shit. That didn't work out very well, did it? But no. We hope to keep going. And every milestone we can make with the show, we want to help somebody make a milestone in their bonsai journey. Man, you should put that on a shirt. That's not good. But yeah, so for Bonsai, this is all we talk about, Bonsai. Say Bonsai 2025. Me and Nate were having a conversation at the nursery a couple of days ago about rallying people up to encourage more of not necessarily like high-end displays. It doesn't have to be the best of the best. Like we were mentioning for the scholarship. Don't have to be the best of the best. We're talking about, say, Bonsai being more of a bonsai celebration in a way and less of a competition-based type feeling. I know I'm over here being the bonsai of the people over here talking, but it's, I wanted to kind of pick Nate and Carmen's brains about this. So I don't want to say that someone can't bring the best tree ever, like something that would end up at Nationals or the Pacific Bonsai Expo or Bonsai Central. We've seen amazing trees at those shows. Don't get me wrong. But I don't want anybody to feel like there's any gatekeeping to put your tree in a show like, say, Bonsai, like any other regional show. You know, what I'm used to seeing, like we've seen the Florida convention and also the Texas conventions that they put on. Those conventions are a little bit more loose and a little bit more informal in some cases, where trees are at the top of their best for what those people are capable of. But I'm trying to find a way to explain it. So what do you guys think? And I'm not trying to offend anybody here either. You know what I mean?
Well, that's impossible. Everybody's going to be offended about something, but I know what you're saying. It's one of those cases where we don't want you to feel like you can't bring a tree because it's not good enough. We just want to see the trees that you have, and we want you to be proud of what you've done and bring it and show it off. And if you have questions, you want help, you know, we can talk about that tree. It's a great learning opportunity to put your tree in a show, just the whole process of it. So I think we're just encouraging everybody of every level to bring their trees so that we have a good wide array of, you know, styles and species and levels of refinement and all of that good stuff.
Yeah. And Nate, do you remember, you made a good point, Nate, a couple of days ago about, cause you showed, was it your first time showing a tree at, say, Bonsai last year?
Yeah, I showed that raft. I think it just demands, you know, you to kind of up your game and really be intentional with what you're doing as you build towards the show, but also to prep for the show as you're mossing and things, accessory pieces and all that. And I know we're downplaying saying bring any tree, you know, bring your favorite, bring your best. We get that, but you were mentioning in our conversation the other day about, you know, to be a student of a certain professional we were talking about, he said, bring your best, bring your worst. Mm-hmm. And they're to toss that worst tree. And, you know, I think sometimes we feel if we're the only person seeing our trees, that maybe we don't think they're very good, or maybe we think they're really good. You know, I think anytime you open yourself up for criticism, you have to exhibit a tree or have somebody over to the house, you're opening up the door of them being critical, obviously, if you're open to hear it. And all that does is move you closer to, improving the tree or seeing the tree from a different perspective. It doesn't mean that they're right and you're wrong. It's just a different representation of what, maybe you aren't going for that book and they wanted it to be a different style. But I think as you exhibit trees, it calls on a deeper, like you got to dig down the well to do more than just have it full of weeds and long and leggy and wire everywhere. And it does. It makes you squinch a little bit when you see, like, if your tree's, tree number 14 and there's four people standing in front of your tree, you kind of want to creep on them, like, what are they saying about my, what are they saying about my tree? One of the things, and I don't know if this is something, Evan, that is being planned, but I think it's a really neat idea to have an artist story. Like, what is the artist trying to accomplish with this piece, with this, with this composition? So the person viewing the tree can try to get into the mind of the owner of the tree itself. You know what I'm saying? Like, whether that's a QR code that's scanned or whether it's, beyond, hey, this tree was grown from seed since 1976. Here's the multiple owners, whatever. Beyond that, even if it's a wild tree, a picture of a tree that's in the wild, and then we try to recreate it, how good of a job did I do to recreate this tree? So, it's the gambit of it is so wide, like I'm nervous to bring my trees or, I don't think it's very good. I mean, you're accepting any, people aren't emailing you pictures of their trees, correct? Or are they just showing up with trees?
I've had a couple of emails from people who have submitted trees from out of state. And here's another thing too, is that whenever people submit trees to these shows, all the aforementioned shows that we had on this episode, so the bigger ones or even some of the smaller shows, there's always a lead up, because if you're going to submit a tree to a show, you have to have time to prep that tree. Because not everybody has a tree that is like, you pull it right off the bench and you moss it up and it's going to be the best. It's going to look that time of year. There are very few people, and that's very unique situations depending on, the circumstance. Like we're talking like for instance, for Carmen, you're at a public collection and any of those trees look great, especially if they're out in the garden, right? Where people can see them.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be easy for you guys to do that.
Well, honestly, if I was taking something out of the garden to a show, I would probably spend at least a whole day on it to take it up to the next level. Yeah, prepping wise. But yeah, it's like even the professionals I know don't have anything. I mean, they could pull a tree off the bench and put it in a show and it would look great, but it wouldn't be what they would plan to do. Everybody gives themselves lead time to make that tree the best it can be with mossing and weeding and oiling the pot and doing the trim, all the stuff.
And that's what we're looking for, is make it the best it can be. So if we get the trees submitted to the show, and then, and by the way, Randy Bennett is going to be our jury, basically. He's going to be going through our trees and basically deciding what should be done. He's going to give some consulting on those trees, making recommendations, especially if you feel like your tree needs a little bit of work before you show it. And Randy is a great resource for that. So yeah, we would love to get the trees earlier on so that we can make those points and encourage those things, because, for some people, like in hotter areas, if our lead up time is like right now, say bonsai is like less than 5 months, it's like 4 months or so now till say bonsai. And, in that amount of time, I know personally, like, in dormancy going into spring, my trees are going to probably look the same as they do now in 3 months. And then, and that time when they wake up from dormancy, that's going to be go time. Well, that's the time that we need to make sure that we know that we're going to start that work, getting those trees prepped and ready to go, you know, either doing, and I've seen people come out of dormancy where they're like, oh crap, my leaves are huge this year. Maybe show the tree deciduous if you really need to, because we're still in spring. Technically, you could cut it back and defoliate and then get that small flush of leaves coming out right in time for the show if you time it correctly. Of course, if you have a broadleaf evergreen, that's not an option. But if you have a juniper, then it's just wiring and lining things up and getting things nice and cleaning your deadwood and lime sulfuring things and wiring things out particularly. And moss, I know a lot of people are, you know, if you've never mossed a tree for show, it is a very particular thing. And it also has to do with regional styles of how moss is acceptable in some shows. Whereas we're talking about some kind of ground decoration that scales your tree. I mean, obviously moss is the easiest way to do it. We're talking about surface moss, like stuff that looks like little tiny grass, you know. So I've seen some coastal displays, like for instance, if someone brings a buttonwood, that's acceptable to show it with sand and grit, like some like fine grit looking materials as like its base. That's fine. You know, you can show environment. Just make sure that the tree is prepped, it's ready to go. It's got a stand at the very least. If you are struggling to find a stand maker in your area, get creative. Go down to the antique store. Maybe if you're handy and you know how to do a little bit of woodworking yourself, some people do. Put something together to elevate that tree up off the table and so that people will see it. And I know it sounds kind of funny because like you're like, people are going to see my tree. But trust me, a tree that's on a stand versus just sitting flat on the table with tablecloth makes a much higher impact. And a stand could be anything from, you know, a couple of pieces of wood that have four legs, or as simple as that. Or if you don't have the resources, it could be planks of wood that are finished and that look nice, or a bamboo roll. I've seen bamboo rolls used to put trees on. If you can get a nice quality stand, you know, kudos to you. Those people who have been out there showing trees for a long time are familiar with this. You know what I'm talking about when I talk about bonsai stands, something, you know. And that's kind of what I'm trying to emphasize here is that if there's anybody that's got their guards up about submitting trees to, say, bonsai, you know, this should also translate over to other shows, like your local club shows. If you need resources and you have a local bonsai club, I know that those clubs have people within those societies that they could help you. You know, you might talk to somebody, they're like, oh yeah, I'll lend you a stand. The Baton Rouge Club in Louisiana here, they have a box, like a storage box full of stands to lend to people for that reason. You know, so the resources are there. Just, you know, look around, you know. So anyway.
You and I talked about though that you would put some content out kind of holding people's hand with, you know, like Carmen mentioned, oil in a pot, mossing. Y'all have done a good job, I know, through the nursery, putting content. Is that something you plan on putting out, kind of step-by-step, prepping the tree with some video content?
I think that would be helpful, Nate. That's a good point. Yeah. So me and Carmen have done episodes in the past, right? You remember that? Where I think we might have done two episodes on something like that, where it was like,
maybe we've done at least one on show prep and one on display, I think. So
yeah. So there's a couple episodes to refer back to in our catalog of episodes here if you really need to. There's some topics that we got really excited about and we went and stretched them out really long. And I think that was one of them. One in particular, I would go back and look at the episodes. Why is it important to have show-ready trees in your collection? That one's pretty good. I think we did multi-part one with that. And then prepping trees for a show. That's one. But yeah, I think doing a video, let's see, December, January,
I'll put that on my list to just go through. And Carmen, you're at the university with the collection over there, and you could do something real quick too if we need it. So, I mean, we're talking great trees over there, you know, but there's got to be one of them that needs some work, right? So
just a few.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not difficult. And I could show even like, in my opinion, if the tree doesn't seem amazing, even if it feels lackluster, I think with a proper preparation, like cleaning it up, mossing it, getting it onto a stand that makes sense and has like a theme or a motif or something, goes a much further way than you think, is what we're trying to emphasize here.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
y'all may have heard Jonas say this, but it was a recent podcast where he said how less than stellar trees take away his time basically from the better trees. And it's almost like we've got a certain amount of time, and that time needs to go towards the trees that we want, you know, to move forward. And I never thought of it like that. All of us probably have trees that are, you know, project trees. Or we have that bench that is, you know, full of those. But when Jones said that, it really, you know, it made me think, and I did. I put some trees on the ground, and, you know, they're not going to be something that I'm spending time on.
Yeah. That's a pretty good point there, because if you're walking through your collection and you're like, I want to go hang out with those crazy people down in Louisiana, eat crawfish and look at bonsai all day and have some drinks with them, you know, if that's your thing too. And you're like, I don't have a tree. Kind of like what Nate's saying here is like, go through your collection. And if there's stuff that you're like, you're not feeling super inspired by, or you're just like not sure about, set those to the side and take a few trees that you're like, you feel a lot more sure about, that you're like, this is really going somewhere. I feel confident. Those are the trees that we want to see. You know, we want to see healthy, good material. You know, like that's one of my other things too, is like, I've had somebody submitted trees to me via email, thing like last week, and the trees were just healthy. And that is enough to impress me to be like, yeah, I would love to have that at my show. If it's healthy and there's not anything like obviously wrong, like funguses or diseases, or half the tree is, you know, lacking in vigor because of, you know, just because you're not watching things, but like root or water uptake or nutrients or something, you know, I'm impressed by plants that just look green, you know. I don't want to sound, you know, that basic about it, but that's a big part of it too, is like the care and putting in, you know, the extra steps into it. And that's what really we're looking for here.
Can I just add, I enjoy talking to people, but especially at a place where we could talk about trees at an exhibition or at a show, it's really important just to rub shoulders and introduce yourself and pick people's brains that are, you know, really fighting the same fight. They're in the trenches just like we are. And to take advice, to take feedback, you know, from them, if you're exhibiting a tree or if you're just coming to view, I think it's important to talk to people. This is the one place where we're all the same, because we're doing the same, you know, we're dealing with trees. But it's just really important to go out of your way, not just to be that guy off in the corner. I know last year we had folks from Florida and South Carolina. You know, don't seclude yourself. It's a wonderful time to meet people. I know I've had a chance to meet people from all over the country, and it's just neat to be able to build those relationships.
I think too that, like, I mean, I have thought that, oh, you know, I don't want a professional to look at my work, or I don't want somebody to judge my tree. But I think people forget, now that I'm kind of on the other side of this where I'm looking at other people's trees, they forget that, like, we like looking at other people's trees and working with them to figure out how they can make it better. Like, one of my favorite things is to look at a tree that isn't quite there and figure out how it could get there. Like taking it from a good bonsai to like a really good bonsai. And so like you may feel uncomfortable about your tree or like worried that you're going to get judged about it. But honestly, we really geek out about like trying to figure out these problems, you know, with you and helping people make better trees. So like, don't be shy. We just want to talk about trees.
Yeah. Like, one of the things we spend a lot of time on the show doing, in past episodes is critiquing and stuff and just talking about why we like trees and how to improve them. And, you know, that's one of the things that actually is a great teacher is looking at a bonsai and saying, you know, to somebody who's got a little bit of a less trained eye on it, and you say, how would you fix this tree? And someone's like, it's perfect. And then you tell that person, okay, well, you think it's perfect, but what would you do that could improve it? And that's really what we're looking for. And if it's a show of more novice to like it's slightly more advanced bonsai, that's going to be the grounds of even more building and learning there. And and just to state there too, guys, with our visiting artists, Julian Tsai, he's going to be there and he's doing a bring your own bonsai workshop and it's $20.
Oh, what a steal.
$20 for Julian Tsai, you know, trained by Peter T to look at your tree and to go through your tree with you and tell you how to improve your tree. I mean, that's great. You know, so that's another emphasis on this show too, is that it's that the pricing on workshops and classes are going to be affordable on that too.
Do you know how many winners at the expo had Peter T's hands on them at some point?
Like, oh my God. Yeah. I saw that.
And gorgeous trees. But the other thing I wanted to say is like, even at the expo, we were walking through looking at the winners going, okay, what do we like about this tree? What don't we like about this tree? What would I do differently? How could this get improved? Like, we're like, we even nitpick the winners and, you know, not saying that any of them did deserve it. They all deserved it. I think a lot of the trees there could have won awards, but like, even with these things that you see as perfect, it's always fun to look at them and like kind of get your own ideas about it and see how you feel about it. And like, yeah, it's, you know, we're not just doing this with entry level trees or, you know, intermediate trees. We're looking at the winners of the shows and going, So.
Herman, was it Robert Kearns, who I think that's who the artist, I think he's won like 6 awards with 2 PBEs.
Oh, yeah. Jim Stern?
He just sat.
Somebody's.
He just sat with Jeremiah.
Yeah, there was somebody who won, I think, 2 or 3 of the awards. It was bananas.
Yeah, he. I think he sat with Jeremiah Lee, and it was a really cool interview, a good conversation, kind of talking about early on buying, you know, material when it was much cheaper probably than what it is now. And it's some old stuff, and he's had a lot of people. He said he's had a lot of people, you know, quality artists work on some of his trees. So it's, I think it's 6. That's crazy because those are some really, really good trees.
Yeah.
I can remember at the dinner 2 years ago and I was like, wait, that's the same guy. Like several times his name was called.
Yeah. He took at least 2, it might've been 3 this time, but yeah, we were all kind of like, what? Oh my God. But yeah, you went through and you looked at his trees and it was, like, of course, they were beautiful.
I'm looking at the list. There was an email sent out. He did take 3.
3? Oh, my God.
Yeah. He took, Jeff Stern took best Jeff medium Stern. Display.
Mm-hmm. That was lovely.
He took large deciduous.
Also great.
And extra large.
Is that deciduous. His Korean hornbeam?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That Korean hornbeam was,
The Korean hornbeam in his medium display too. Like,
yeah,
I can't even.
Like when I saw that hornbeam in the extra large, I was like, holy shit, dude, that's the best one. That's best in show. But also that Cryptomeria, right?
I mean, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. But yeah, so we want to mention Jeremiah Lee also had the Coastal Redwood win Director's Choice Award. There was an email that went out that Jonas had released and said that there was some more judging to be had. And if you guys receive emails from Jonas from Bonesight Tonight, he has an email list. And I got an email saying that he was announcing another winner, and it was Jeremiah with his Coastal Redwood with a little Ewok in the accent.
That was so funny. I was shocked actually when that didn't take an award. I was very surprised. So I'm glad that it came through later that he got something for that tree. It was outstanding.
Yeah. So yeah. Congratulations to Jeremiah and that tree. I mean, I saw that tree and I was like, I thought it had won because it had so many photos taken of it. You know, so many people gave coverage of that tree. And it
didn't fit on the bench.
Yeah. It looks, you know, that's a 6-foot table and it's the stand and everything is just, it's more than 50% of it. It's pretty incredible how huge that thing is. It's a cool tree. Now, looking at it right now, I would love to do a critique on it, but we don't really have time for that on this episode. There's some things I look at this tree and I'm like, it's a good tree, but there are a few things we could talk about that tree on for sure. But when we get there, we'll get there. But that pot, I think it's a Nao Tokutake pot as well.
Probably. I'm not sure. Probably.
I think
beautiful.
It was. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was talking I was talking to Joel Jenkins and I think he was telling me that's what it was too. But it's just amazing display. So anyway, we didn't want to go too long on this episode. So, we just wanted to get out there that we're talking about, you know, getting the sponsorship talked about on episode 99, we're one away, and that the live stream, if we're cutting off, not the live stream, but the Bonesai Best Buds participants stream, we're going to be doing that after December 1st. So when we get a date that works for all of our Bonesai Best Buds, I mean, we're going to do our best to make sure that it is a reasonable date and time, but I know people are on in other parts of the country, other parts of the world. So time zones might be a little conflicting, a little bit hard. So we might have to shoot for a day where it's like in the middle of the day on a weekend. And what we're going to do is we're going to do our best to set this up. And we're going to try our best to get all the little things crew together. And we're just going to celebrate 100. And we're going to talk about, reminisce about the show, be all sappy and stuff like that. Like we kind of did for the Christmas episode the past year. Something
maybe
similar
I'll
to that.
Maybe I'll cry again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. By the way, we took out as much of the sobs as we could.
I'm just curious. For episode 100, is Carmen beyond becoming? Is she now like I am Monza rather than becoming
nice.
Monza?
Well,
yeah, I might need to come with the up of the noon. It needs to start with a B though.
Became Bonesai.
Became Bonesai.
Became Bonesai all along.
That's hilarious. No, yeah. I think I'm going to stick with becoming. It feels like a very, you know, it's a constant process though.
Yeah. So becoming of you. But we're going to go through and list off our Bonesai Best Buds like we always do at the end of the episode. And we'll do a couple of shout outs and say goodbye to the folks. You guys ready for the Best Buds?
Heck yeah.
Yep. So here's our Best Buds in no particular order. We don't choose favorites here, but this is how they fall off of the Patreon site. William Wads Pot. Wow. William Wads. Off first one. Messing it up. Doing really
William
good.
Wallace. Not William.
Wallace Woods Pottery. It's William Wallace. Yeah. Bonesai Samurai, Radtron Studio, Kyle Ford, Wesley Thompson, Joseph Dominguez. Let me make sure that he didn't. Nope, that's a different name. Wow. Okay. David Smith, Eddie Fernandez. You'll see what I'm talking about later on in the list. Myrick Bonesai Pottery, Chantel Wynn, Hist Warrior, Christina Carforia, David J. Bacchini, Gilbert Jorez, Sean Seaman, J.M. Stewart Woodworking, Joshua Roth Limited, Nancy Hoffman, Nate Murray, thanks Nate, Ben Crean, Victrina Ridgeway, Timothy Arsenal, Chris
Hey,
Fossum,
I saw Tiffany at the show.
Tiffany Arsenal saw at the show. I know him and the Bonesai yeah. Bar crew were out there. They were partying. Oh, it was fun. There was a bunch of them. JAS Potts. So I'm giving you the full acronym today, dude. Bonesai Marine, AC Castle, Luis Torres, Karen Codswell, Austin Atkins, David N, Chase Pertweet, Taylor Peacock, Greenwich Gardens, Backyard, Bonesai Australia. Thank you, Jay. Justin Knight, Joel Jenkins. Is that Ryan? Wait, yeah.
Giordano.
Ryan Giordano. That's what we're going with this week. Snappy Chappers, Joshua Bentley's, Ricky Ruins, Boyd Snellgrove, Ricky Auth, Montana Bridgman, Mark Malte, Draco, Micah Rouse, Joshua Giordano. That's why I was checking earlier, because it's the same name. I know another Giordano that's around here. Louisiana has a lot of people with that last name. And then Kathy Barbizon. I know Kathy from the New Orleans Bonesai Society. Thank you. And then, of course, our specimen and best buds, Unryu and Bonesai Garden in Australia, and holding it down. I wouldn't be able to do any of these episodes without you, Bill. Bill's by you. Actually, I probably could. I hope he still is listening and getting the little subtle references to him every time. He made sure to make emphasis on that. But anyway, so yeah, thank you guys for listening to episode 99. We are going to take a really soft break until episode 100 to make sure we can line everything up here with the Little Things crew, so we make sure that we have all of our people in attendance for episode 100, and also that we can go through and select the scholarship accordingly and properly. Just letting you guys know, if you want any more content from me, go to underhillbonesai.com. You can see some articles that I wrote. I'm actually doing a water elm, a plantar aquatica development series that I've started, and I've got some really awesome information from Brandy Bennett about Von Banting's life in bonsai, and he wasn't just known for bald cypresses. He was a pioneer of the water elm species as well. So we got some really cool stuff coming up with that on our website, underhillbonesai.com. You can go to underhillbonesaistore.com and go check out all the cool stuff we got there. We're shipping trees right now. It's cool enough to ship bald cypresses, Japanese maples that we grow on site, Chinese elms, and all the other goodies that we have as far as Joshua Ruff tools, wire, fertilizers, and pottery, everything else that you could need for bonsai. And then, of course, we have Instagram and Facebook, so follow us there. And then for Carmen, where do they check out your stuff at?
You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at Became Bonsai. No, Still Becoming Bonsai. Also, I know I saw more of you there than just the Bonesai Bar crew. So shout out to everybody who came and said hi to me at the expo. It was great to meet a bunch of people that I hadn't met before, and to see folks that I have met before. It's always really fun when people come up to you and they're like, hey, I recognize your voice from across the room. It's like super weird, but I'm always really happy when you so come fun. And say hi. You find me Facebook and Instagram at Becoming Bonesai. I'm really hoping to get a website up soon. It is at 0% right now. So, you know, we'll see. And then be sure to check out the Purple Pot Society, the National Women's Bonsai Group. There's actually an online demo happening on Saturday this week. So you can check out the website for details on that. And that's it yep. for now.
And you don't have to be a woman to be part of that group. I'm also a part of the Purple Pot Society, so support women in bonsai, please. And also, yeah, shout out back to Bonesai Bar. Thank you guys for so much for sponsoring the show and meeting us I met them at the national show last year. Awesome guys. Mm-hmm. And then for Nate, where do they check your stuff out?
I just want to say I'm going to create a fake Patreon account just so I can hear you butcher. I'm going to make it a really hard name.
Please do. I know you listen every week.
Yeah. I'm going to do that too.
Nate's one of our regular listeners, even though he's one of our OGs, and he goes there and he always gives me a hard time about that. So please do.
No, I don't. I really don't. Thebootbonsai.com, Instagram primarily is where I put most of my content, but Facebook, TikTok a little bit, and a few things on YouTube.
And expect some more. Speaking of YouTube, expect more content coming up there. We will be going collecting this year, and we're hoping to get some more footage. We were supposed to get some good footage of us collecting last year, but finding videographers is not the easiest to convince people to walk out in the swamps with us. So I think some stuff could be coming up there.
I don't know why. It sounds so fun.
Yeah. We had somebody go out one time and was going to shoot something. What was that?
Sure. I don't know how to do.
Did Carmen just volunteer?
Yeah.
I mean.
That sounds really fun.
What are you doing mid-February? We can probably figure something out.
Repotting. But
yeah,
I'll come down for that. That sounds good.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll have more stuff coming up. It's an exciting year. Next year is going to be just as awesome, and we're looking forward to more little things. But if you guys please excuse our delay in episodes. If we hadn't
Absolutely
been a little
not.
Delayed, we promise you it's going to be good. So just give us a little bit of time. We'll get episode 100 put together for y'all, and we will see y'all on the next one.